I don't recommend the book. But one of my books that I've been reading of late is only one of many. I continue to be totally amazed. That's all right, put the picture up. The Spear of Destiny is the name of it, by Trevor Ravenscroft. I don't recommend the book because he doesn't tell you straight out that he is a believer in reincarnation, a believer in probably that school of higher consciousness and good use of, as he would put it, occult power that's reflected in the works of Rudolf Steiner. And I think a person should announce themselves. I can't stand to read anybody who doesn't have a position. I think if you know a subject, you're going to be positioned. Most people know where I stand going out the gate, but I try to separate opinions from facts and try to let you know there are lots of areas I'm still searching. Then there are areas I'm pretty sure I found the handle to grab. So hidden in this is a rather strong argument, well done, for his own philosophic position. But the history is sound. As the basic history before they start interpreting of Holy Blood, Holy Grail is sound. One of the best synopses of history you'll find, but it'll tear your faith apart if you don't have some foundation. But unlike the Catholic Church, I'm not in the business of promulgating an index. I believe if you listen to me, you can read about anything. We'll get to it eventually and sort it out for you. But I am amazed at the ignorance of the Christian Church on many key subjects. And I'm glad we are causing a stir and people are getting into the subject in other areas to survive. Some other Christian television stations have to watch us and copy. That's all right. I'm only one person. I didn't discover some of the things I'm teaching. Others have taught them, but I think I was one of the first to bring them on television. The traditional bases of so many Christian holidays and the Babylonian roots and Satan's counterfeit that is just so glibly taken over by the church. I mean, there are people that can literally break down, cry in spiritual ecstasy over the Christmas holiday and manger scenes. Well, you know, I'm glad for them. It takes a little more potent things to get me going, but I'm glad for them that they can gush so easily. But I really do get disturbed when Jesus is turned into a rabbit to serve Easter, and Easter eggs are somehow related to the stone that's rolled away, and Babylonian myths that are medieval adaptations come in. I've opened eyes there. I'm equally mystified. Now, that has to do with the Babylonian origins of so many Christian traditions. I'm equally mystified at the ignorance of the church world about the British church and the Joseph of Arimathea records, and the founding of the church in France and in the British Isles. It's old hat now to the people that I'm teaching. And it's frustrating that I have to review with people on satellite because I've taught it so much. I'm amazed at the ignorance of the church world. They can read Romans 16 and 2 Timothy 4 and the list of names and never connect it to the British church. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at how ignorant this generation is on the subject matter of the Holy Grail, which was absolutely for centuries the most profound, subject on both the continent and the British Isles. I grew up with King Arthur. This generation doesn't even know who he is. And if they do, they know very little about the King Arthur tales. And then somebody does a movie called Excelsior and turns it into a butcher shop. I mean, that is a that's an awful movie. Well, I cleaned that one up. I am amazed how little history the average Christian knows. I saw people look shocked on Sunday when I said the Apocrypha was included in the King James originally, even in my church. They're hard to shock. And I'm amazed how few people know anything about this Spear of Destiny. I can tell it by the calls. Now, this book is only one of many. You could build a library on the Spear of Destiny. That Spear of Longinus. That legend that tells of the centurion who, as the legend has it, to perform an act of mercy and that God's prophecy might be fulfilled, God was involved in it, but this Roman who pierced his side to keep his body from being mutilated and the bones broken, normal Roman custom. But there are thousands of Christians who know nothing about the Spear of Destiny. And what's worse is how little Christians know about demonology and how much slop is taught about it. I mean, I preached all over Australia where they were spitting them out on napkins. One of the leading voices of the shepherd movement. And you know, when you've been around the church world as long as I've been around, you're not impressed with fads. I remember when the shepherding concept was the biggest thing in America and all the Pentecostals and charismatics were running like running to it. 10,000 in St. Louis. All these little cell groups. Hey, the guy that founded that in Argentina interpreted for me when I preached in Argentina. I've been around a long time. I have to remind some of these Pentecostals and charismatics, I'm well-traveled. I haven't backslid. I haven't lost my mind. Still love God's Word and I'm preaching it the same way. In fact, I preach 7 messages every year that I preached in Australia and preached in Argentina. The people who listen to me preach can't find much change when I'm on those subjects. The national pastor in Argentina, a real tragedy of church politics. No wonder we haven't seen much action down there. A compromise between, quote, the Canadian brethren and the U.S. brethren and the Assemblies of God fighting over who would run the field. The national pastor was the forehead of the dud of a missionary. I was preaching, and the interpreter was a missionary, and he stopped in the middle of my preaching and says, "That's over their head. You can't preach that to these people." Right in the middle of my message, I almost hit him. And the audience says, "No, no, no, let him continue." They understood enough English to say that. And a student national came up and interpreted for me, and the missionary sat down and looked sour. The only guy's head I was going over was his. And that young firebrand of a pastor in Buenos Aires decided he had two churches. He had a church that came like spoiled brats, and he'd preach on the Holy Spirit at 11 o'clock and Second Coming at 7:30, and preach on another subject on Wednesday night, and they'd hear it and like shallow ground say hallelujah, but by the time he got to the next service, they'd done nothing with it. So he started an underground church or cell groups that would take that message and chew on it and talk about it and develop it until it became something solid. And from that, it branched out to other places and became a shepherding movement. But a tragedy of that movement was their demon possession doctrines. I was talking with Gary Leakey last night. He attended one of their meetings, or one of those that was delivering everybody from demons. Every kind of sickness was a demon. Flu demons, cough demons, snot demons. And he was having everybody stand up and confess to the congregation every sexual sin, present and past. Boy, I mean, a guy that has that kind of erotic curiosity is a prime candidate for Playboy. I don't really think sex is for hearing and watching, but to each his own. So all these dumb idiots would stand and confess to the congregation their sexual sins. The only people that were dumber were the ones that sat there and listened to it. And then having confessed publicly, which is absolutely contrary to Scripture, the laws of the offerings in the Old Testament tell you about confession. Individual sins are treated at the individual altar of repentance. The only time you take it into the type of the sanctuary is when the congregation as a whole, acting as a congregation, sins, or the leader of the congregation acting at the behest of the congregation in an action that is representative of the congregation as a whole sins. Those are the only ones you take in the sanctuary, make public. I don't care how many confession services have brought revival, the Scripture's against it. You go tell God. Don't tell me your corruption. What I see is bad enough. I don't want to hear anymore. But they had confessed their sexual sins. And then they'd go up and down the line with a bucket and have them all vomit in the bucket and get rid of their demons. You wonder why some people think Christianity's crazy? I want to tell you something else. When David danced before the ark, I'm going to make you a bet, it was a sight to behold, something beautiful. I'll bet you that agile warrior knew how to dance. 1 Chronicles 11 lists the names. David waxed greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. These also were the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom. Interesting line. This was a decrepit bunch that gathered around him at the cave of Adullam. Their only designation is they were either in debt, discontented, or in distress. But David waxed greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. David dwelled in the castle, therefore they called it the city of David. These are the men who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom. Now this is the company. And this is one of the texts in the Old Testament that justifies occasionally putting names on things to display the action that strengthened them. This is the number of the mighty men whom David had. Jashobeam and Hachmonite, the chief of the captains. You know, it's so easy to go past these things and not put any flesh and blood on them. I'm in 1 Chronicles 11, verse 11. Page 496, if you've got a Bible like mine. He lifted up his spear against 300 slain by him at one time. Can you really imagine that? Hand-to-hand battle, and this guy took on 300 and whipped choked them all in hand-to-hand battles to death. Can you see this guy in heaven wanting to sit down and talk to some of these peanuts that call themselves Christian today? He's going to, I can see old Jashubim up there sitting down with some modern charismatic saying, "Will you tell me your exploits in the Spirit?" Well, I held this bucket for this fellow that vomited a demon out. I used to dance on TV to the glory of God. Because it looked like a cross between a sheep and a rabbit with a broken leg. I really can't imagine that. 300. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite. I mean, if my dad's name was Dodo, that'd make me want to go do something to sort of erase it too. Who was one of the three mighties. He was with David at Pass Damon. And there the Philistines were gathered together to battle, where was a parcel of ground full of barley, and the people fled from before the Philistines. First guy took on overwhelming odds. Here, everybody else fled. They set themselves in the midst of that parcel and delivered it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord saved them by a great deliverance. I want to tell you another story. Says he had to pull his fingers off of the hilt of the sword when it was finished. He had gripped that sword and stood his ground until they had to disengage his fingers from the hilt of the sword from the self-induced rigor mortis that had set in, though he was still alive fighting. Hey, I grew up on this kind of men of God. This is where I lived. I lost my faith looking at flukes. Came back because of a good look at Jesus. Then I looked at the rest of them that God heralded. I mean, these guys make a Sunday afternoon football player look like a pansy. A simple objective. Every time I preach, every time I teach, I have one objective. If you understand God, listen to His revelation, you can understand everything else. Without that key to unlock it, you can't. Furthermore, as you encounter God's revelation, you come to know God's in charge, God's in control. When He says something, you'll do it. And the easiest thing, paradoxically, is the hardest thing, but it's still the easiest. Eternal life is given to that man and woman who will act on that knowledge and faith. That is, hang their body on the belief that when God says it, He'll do it, and confidently hang on. But all that I teach has a central core. Now, I started out on some of the things I'm teaching now saying we're going to start going verse by verse through Genesis. As a year and a half ago, we said we were going to go verse by verse through Revelation, but haven't got to it yet. We're still on the general background. When I talk on the lost tribes, if they can be found, not only do they demonstrate God's faithfulness to His Word and unravel some inexplicable things otherwise of history, they give hope to those of us in this country. I mean, how many times have you heard those that bless Israel are going to be blessed? What if the lost tribes did settle in Britain and the United States? Now, I still believe those that bless the Jews are going to be blessed, but about time for them to start blessing the rest of Israel too. And those that... See, I'm not one of those people who believe if you find the lost tribes, you should abandon the Jew. I just believe the lost tribes have never been abandoned. And the promise is to the descendants of Abraham, so it fits both of them. including the spiritual seed, the church. See, everybody can get in on the blessing if they want to. Those that are not of the lost tribes or the Jews can become the new race of grace. And all the blessings, all the promises of God in Him are amen in Him, yea to you. All this is interconnected. Pyramid, those doggone people. Even though I acted like it was a Saturday night excursion, Holy Blood, Holy Grail is interconnected. It gave me my first introduction to a very important subject that every Christian ought to comprehend, the Holy Grail. And once again, you're going to find the same thing happened. The same thing happened with a vital truth that has happened everywhere that God has a vital truth for His Christians. Satan came in and took over and caricatured and told it his way. Now, the fact that Christians don't know much about the Holy Grail doesn't mean you haven't had experiences as a result of it. If Adolf Hitler hadn't believed in the Satanist version of the Holy Grail, there would have been no Second World War. And when I teach on Atlantis, how many of you know where Hitler's concept of the Aryan race came from? I don't see a single hand going up. I don't see a single one. A lot of people who know that the Bible gave promises to Abraham try to think that they can't understand Hitler's hatred of the Jew. The promised descendants of Shem. And because the Aryan was somewhere in the Iranian East, Middle East, Far East Plateau area, purist in India, sometimes they'd say, they keep looking for the Aryan race in the normal history of man. Do you know where he got his theory of the Aryan race? Atlantis. You see, Hitler totally believed in an ability to research history other than going to libraries and using the sensory apparatus. That's why I started with Atlantis on the readings of Edgar Cayce. Now, we are such a materialistic Western society dominated by the land of the sense that most of the adult generation had no idea what the kids were about that were seeking these transcendent experiences through drugs. An escape from the, as one philosopher puts it, the dustbin of the conscious world. And there is a vast stream of thought among respected people in the world. In fact, if you want to go to the United Nations today and go into their religious chapel, and if you trace the history of it, you will find that it has more to say about the kind of thinkers I'm going to talk about right now than it does traditional religious thought. There are lots of intelligent people in the world who believe that through an experience they call reincarnation, you can discover history by going into a state where you rediscover your former selves, and then history becomes memory. And you write it down and then go to the library, and that's the accurate history, and then you go do your research to prove it up. That's why I said the other night in introducing a subject that probably was the most controversial I've gotten on yet. I'm pretty good at getting on controversial subjects. The evidence, empirical and experiential evidence, for the phenomenon characterized as a memory of past lives is overwhelmingly convincing. There were many years when extrasensory perception, scientifically called parapsychology, was totally doubted, and those who believed it at all wrote it off to demoniac forces or a divine act through the Holy Spirit. The facts are, parapsychology is no longer questioned by people in the know. Extrasensory perception occurs. The question is, how? And by what means? Modern, capable, controlled experiments in universities in the United States conducting studies in parapsychology have pushed the people in the know past the point of saying, does it really happen? Yes, it happens. The evidence of its happening at least is there. What's the explanation? That's the modern question. Likewise, the experience described many ways, but including being described as a state whereby you have a recollection of past lives has been empirically demonstrated often enough. No longer can anybody who studies the subject say it doesn't happen. The question is how? You got a Bible for that. How do you explain Samuel coming up and the witch of Endor calling him? Now, was it really Samuel? Were the departed dead, and there never was a more righteous man in the Old Testament than Samuel? He founded the school of the prophets. He laid the foundations for the history of Israel. And a witch calls him up for a man from whom the Spirit has departed. What the Bible says, doesn't it? Now, was it really Samuel? Some apparition was there that talked like Samuel. And I'm telling you, Saul thought it was Samuel. And the record of the Bible calls him Samuel. Who was it? Or what was it? That's a biblical seance. Now, the empirical evidence of people having experience in which they remember past lives is overwhelming because there are people who have remembered an experience of being a person that weren't a historian, had no way of knowing. No way of knowing the events that they recall as a person in a past life, and historians check it out and they're right on the button. Right on the button. And that has fathered a... Historians don't like this, and I have an undergraduate major in history, and my history professors will probably wake up and wonder what jolted them awake right now with pain, that their product would say what I'm about to say. There are intelligent people who have attained a state whereby they go into these experiences and they tell history by memory. And then after they take the notes down, they've gone out and researched it and corrected. You know, history usually is written by the victors who tell what they want to tell. Charlemagne had an advisor named Hugo. They tried to kill him. And when the executioner raised the axe, though he had bared his neck, he couldn't do it. The executioner said, "What is this power? What is this voice that's stopping me?" The mob cried out, and Charlemagne reacted. The king tried to kill him. And suddenly he too was stopped. He saved face by saying the man's innocent and embraced him. But that man, Hugo, was sort of written out of history. There is no question but what. A German scientist had an experience in past history in which he saw an event. And history didn't tell him. He searched and researched and researched until he found the documents that confirmed his experience that he called reincarnation. Now, I'm telling you, the Bible does not provide for reincarnation. That's divided some people that have never been divided about me. I've touched on a pet theme. But I'm also telling you there's a stream of consciousness that is the Holy Spirit that can act in us with memory of past events. But that doesn't mean I was somebody else. And I'm telling you there are demoniac beings that occupy different houses called people in every age. And when they possess you, they'll remember their past habitations. Whomever those demons that Jesus cast out of that demoniac boy by the Gadarenes, whomever they occupy today, the person they occupy would have a memory of being that demoniac of the Gadarenes. But neither am I going to say all reincarnation type experiences are demoniac. I'm just going to say flat out. Usually I prove something first and then say it. But I'm going to say flat out going out the gate. The scriptures do not provide for individuals reincarnating. So how are we going to explain the phenomenon? Because I have a lot of king's houses that believe in it. Well, just hold tight. You may not have to abandon your scriptural faith, and you may get a new view of how to explain the experience. But let me go back to Hitler. Hitler, from history written in reincarnation, here's Edgar Cayce telling readings of several ages of Atlantis. Now, there is a island that was a part of Atlantis called Thule. And Thule was the basis of that name given to the occult group that I was talking about the other night, where these apparitions materialized in that seance with the peasant woman that became the core of the Nazi party as it was formed. And the Aryan race came from a viewpoint of the progressive races on Atlantis. And the Aryans were one of those races on Atlantis. Am I boring you? I don't know how to pronounce the words. Ramoahals was the first one. If you pronounce all the letters, I'd rather write it on the board. Spell it if you want to for you on radio. Ramoahals. The second race on Atlantis was capital T-L-A-V-A-T-L-I. Tlavatl, I guess. I don't know how to pronounce it. Toltecs is easy, the third one. T-O-L-T-E-C-S. Turanians. And in his occult explanations of past history that he derived out of the secret doctrine, man was softer and more plastic and easier to be shaped by inhabiting sons of God. There were two forces of evil, Lucifer, Ahrimanic, A-H-R-I-M-A-N-I-C. Now there is a place in Germany. There's one man Hitler hated more than anybody. Nobody he hated more than he hated Dr. Rudolf Steiner. Here's a picture of him taken shortly after he graduated at Vienna University. A student of the great German poet. And he built the Gotheanum for him, built by Rudolf Steiner, burned down by the Nazis on New Year's Eve, 1922 to 1923. He drew and sculpted a statue of Jesus wrestling with the two evil deities. And this race on Atlantis were corrupted not only by Lucifer, but by another being, Ahrimanic. And these seven sub-races of Atlantis, the Aryans being the fifth, were followed by the Akkadians, A-K-K-A-D-I-A-N-S, and last, the Mongols. The Atlantean age passed through seven epochs, and seven sub-races developed in succession. And each one maintained itself while the others developed alongside. The attraction of Lucifer was to identify the man destined to relate with higher beings and with eternity and with a realm beyond the dustbin of the senses. Lucifer was to tempt these races to identify with things down here. Ahrimanic was to make them materialistic. Let me read the basic temptation if I can find it quickly. You're interested in this, aren't you?
Yes,
sir. The intervention of Lucifer initiated a process through which man became master of his own cognition and capable of personal resolve. At the same time, man was led into the possibility of evil and error. The human eye or ego fell into dependence upon certain lower elements in the soul. And higher spiritual influences were no longer able to control. In short, eat the apple and you'll be like God yourself. He became too involved in the wheel of physical existence. At this period of the evolution of mankind, Hitler totally embraced this doctrine, took place in the earlier epochs than Atlantis, described in the Bible in the fall from paradise. Lucifer involved mankind in that temptation that turned him away from his spiritual inheritance. The other evil one got him involved only in material things, Ahrimanic forces. The second hierarchy led him to total confinement in the three-dimensional world of measure, number, and weight. Ahriman, as distinct from Lucifer, wishes to mislead man into regarding the sense-perceptible world of physical existence as the only reality. Lucifer wanted him to rebel and elevate the self and turn from his spiritual destiny. Ahriman wanted him to realize that only the physical world existed. Lucifer and Ahriman are the two great adversaries of mankind's evolution. Lucifer leads man into a spiritual independence of the celestial hierarchies. See, this Western world at Nuremberg explained Germany by psychoanalytic theory. I'll show you why in a second. Lucifer leads man into a spiritual independence of the celestial hierarchies, tempting him, as it were, to set himself up as a god. Ahriman strives to establish a purely material kingdom on earth, which is entirely isolated from spiritual realities, and he seeks to draw mankind so deeply into this kingdom that he loses all awareness of his spiritual origin and destiny. The hierarchies of evil were responsible for the degeneration of the soul life of the masses of mankind in Atlantis, which have been described. Lucifer incited the lust for power, the false pride, and the egotism, which led to the misuse of magical powers, while Ahriman utilized perverse sexual cravings of the populace to inspire black magic rites which brought about the eventual obliteration of the whole continent. The Luciferic oracle was called Agarthi and believed to be a center of meditation and concentrated on giving sustenance to the powers and engaging in black magic. The Ahrimanic oracle was named Shambhala, a center where rituals were performed to control elemental powers. On and on I can go into the distinctions. And in this, Steiner's building, he built this statue, was carving it, of Christ wrestling with these forces and winning. Hitler hated him. Now, when they at Nuremberg explained Germany totally in terms of the sensible world and no occult link-ups, they robbed history of the truth that Germany was a product of occult Satanism, evil spirit worship, and demon possession. And even at Nuremberg, when such statements came forth as the right-handed way or the left-hand way and Shambhala and Agarthi, they would snicker and laugh, failing to recognize the role of the occult and their feeling of destiny that goes back to Atlantis. The Aryan race in the Holocaust that came from Atlantis sinking into the Atlantic Ocean, the Aryans escaped it. And in the mountains of the northern forests, developed their disciplines. Whereas the other races, and they refer to the Jews as not human at all. These Aryans were the disciplined products of Atlantis that were destined to straighten out and rule the world as supermen. They settled in the high mountains of the north, and the center of their learning ends up in Tibet, and there are just thousands of people that do not know that Hitler imported Tibetan Oriental mystics to Germany. And when the war began to go bad, turned on them and blamed them for a lack of superior prophetic knowledge. And when they were found, they had committed suicide with Oriental dignity rather than suffer other indignities. There are thousands of people who have studied history and grown up in the church, don't even know the importations of Tibetan mystics to Germany to teach Hitler and the demoniac demon worship backgrounds and prophecies. And the German general that was made the scapegoat for the loss of the First World War after his death, his wife began to utter prophetic utterances in the form of speaking in tongues and interpreting, which outlined the full history of what Germany would come to and Hitler's leading it to its destruction. Tell me demons can be spit out on napkins. But again, we have a truth which is Atlantis, twisted out of shape and distorted. I hope you're beginning to gestalt something. Wherever there is a truth that God has something to say to us, Satan moves into that territory and twists it out of shape and makes it something terrible. One of the reasons the doctrines and the theories and the study of Atlantis fell into such disrepute to people in the know is because it was the theory of Atlantis that produced the terrible idea of the Aryan race, where this superiority was carried in the blood, and the Aryan race stood or fell on the theory of Atlantis. and because of the evil that such a misuse of that study produced in Hitler Germany. Atlantis, you know, if I'm not going to talk about the pyramid because of the excesses of pyramidologists, and if I'm not going to talk about lost tribe theory and possible connections between the Celts and the lost tribes and the British Empire because of idiocy in early day British Israelite theory, I'm sure going to be scared to talk about Atlantis when I see what delving into Atlantis has done with such far-fetched, far out in the minds of the traditional person.
This is the end of side one. For the rest of the message, please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.